If you've spent any time in church at all, or probably even if you haven't, you can name at least one of the creation stories from the Bible. We tend to teach children some melding of the two stories, the one that walks through the days of the week in a rather bizarre progression. I mean, let's be honest, plants before sunshine. Can we please stop trying to make the Bible a science book and appreciate it for its beautiful poetic truth? All of that comes to a wonderful completion with the formation of humans, that day's description. But then we have one from Genesis 2. God makes Adam, then animals, and finally Eve from Adam's rib. That version has a lot of talk of rivers already being named. It's really interesting. It often freaks people out to learn that there are two creation stories. When they learn that the stories don't match, they start biting their fingernails. It makes people worry that the Bible has inaccuracies. It makes them nervous about how to read the Bible and what to do with the things that cause us to go, But I love that the Bible opens with two distinct versions of how everything began. That's a gift. It's a gift to be received, not a problem to be solved. It's an invitation to experience God in a myriad of ways, not unlike the idea of the Trinity, the three in one, that mystery we celebrate today. So let us add to this complexity around God and creation and the Trinity, and let's throw Proverbs 8 into the mix. Proverbs 8 offers us one of those rare moments, a glimpse into God, simply delighting in the world. Now, I enjoy walking my neighborhood around dinner time, catching a peek of the activity in the windows. Sometimes I see a young family gathered at a table sharing a meal. Other times the gatherings are large and the noise spills out of the house, past the yard to the sidewalk. Gathered as family, gathered as friends, gathered as community to rally around an important issue. Meaningful reasons to gather. People struggling, people laughing, people enjoying the gifts of the earth around a table, life in community. And today, we are standing outside God's house as God and wisdom gather and retell the creation story. Now, honestly, wisdom is not very good at sitting still. She's too busy dancing around the room. Did you catch that? Why don't we read this passage from Proverbs more often? We need this very image more than ever. We need to take a walk and peek through God's window and watch as God and wisdom dance and laugh and celebrate creation together. What an amazing image, and we so seldom. Wisdom, as experienced in Proverbs, gives theologians absolute fits. Some say wisdom in this text represents Jesus, a precursor to John's interpretation of Jesus as the Word. Others identify wisdom as the Holy Spirit. Again, I say amen to a little uncertainty, a little mystery. Wouldn't it be boring and too easy if everything about the life of faith was spelled out in neat block letters? Although we would have much less to fight about, that's for certain. Because here comes wisdom. She's going to stand on the street corners like that missionary at the intersection down on the strip, the one who yells through a bullhorn. But instead of screaming about heaven and hell and the certainty of your damnation, wisdom says things like, honey, get your life together. Wisdom says, if you love God, wisdom leads to justice. Wisdom says, pursue knowledge, not money. And wisdom says again, honey, get your life together. She sounds like your mother as you head out the door to your very first day of your very first real job. Or she sounds like that mother who waves goodbye after dropping you off at college. Always encouraging, always loving, offering love rather than instilling fear. She offers her advice and then describes a life led in wisdom. But then there's this abrupt shift, and she begins to tell her story. Did you get out the Bibles and follow along? This section is titled Her Autobiography. If you didn't see that, you need to see it. Proverbs 8, her autobiography. We hear of her birth, wisdom's birth, which can take us into a complex theological debate. And then we hear her version of the creation story, in which she describes being a co-creator with God. When God marked out the foundations of the world, I was right there, says wisdom. And though the translation of verse 30 is uncertain, the possibilities include, I was there as a master of crafts, kind of a Matt Smith. I was there as a master worker. Wisdom labors with God, and it is joy-filled work. I was having fun, says wisdom. Smiling before God all the time, frolicking. Yes, that's what the scripture said. Frolicking with God's inhabited earth and delighting in the human race. Delighting. Friends, if this tells us anything about the nature of God, it is that God is a God of relationship. God's best work emerges out of relationship. God delights in being in relationship with us. We cannot celebrate the Trinity without celebrating relationships. Even in the act of creation, God does not work alone. God labors side by side with wisdom, at least according to wisdom, to create an even greater community. Reverend Alan Brim writes on his blog, The Waking Dreamer, since love requires a counterpart, it should come as no surprise that God has counterparts in the Bible, especially Jesus the Christ and the Holy Spirit. This one God who is three exists in a relationship of love and community with one another. That is central to our faith, because the love it represents is the basis for everything God does, including both creation and salvation. Beautiful. That relationship we experience, that relationship which birthed creation, and that relationship which births our salvation. But what if we take it to an even simpler level than that? When you ask people what they love about their church, they might offer a variety of answers, but you will almost certainly hear, they were with me when I was hurting. They were with me when I lost my spouse. They were with me when I lost my job. They took care of me when I was sick. That's what you hear people say about their faith community, that in times of need, people were there for them. I have never met anyone who, when faced with something frightening, simply wanted to be alone. When tired or stressed, grieving or confused, sure, solitude can be necessary. Solitude can be a friend. There are times when you need solitude. But when we're afraid, we need others. We need people to hold our hand, to stand beside us while we cope, maybe provide a little comic relief. We need others when we are afraid. And we live in a world that wants us to fear. Julie Poulter, one of the editors of Sojourners Magazine,
reflecting on the Trinity, wrote these words. This is the big lie that the world tells us. The world is connected by trade agreements, electronic banking, computer networks, shipping lanes, and the seeking of profit. Nothing else. This is the truth of God. Creation is a holy web of relationship, a gift meant for all. It vibrates with the pain of all its parts, and its destiny is joy. Believe in a God who longs to be in relationship with you. God comes to us in diversity, knowing that our lives will have many seasons. At times, it is a Savior whom we most deeply need to meet. We need to turn to the stories of Jesus and his radical love for us. Other times, we just need to hear about a loving parent God, a God of both discipline and presence. But throughout all the seasons of our lives, the many twists and turns of our faith journeys, the Spirit is always present to us. And she is dancing in delight over your very existence. She is dancing with joy that she witnessed your birth. She will hold you in your sorrow and sustain you in your darkest hour, for she cannot live apart from relationship. Our triune God calls to us with a voice of love, welcoming us into the dance of life. So dance. Dance like no one is looking. Now they are looking. They are. And they're laughing. Because you look foolish when you dance unless you're a professional. But they look foolish when they dance too. So it's okay. We're in this dance together. And the Spirit is at the center of the dance. Thanks be to God. Amen.